I have a question for you this morning. What does God look for when He chooses His vessels? What does God look for? Now, I know all kinds of ideas are popping right now. I can hear them snapping right now. He's looking for charisma? No. He's looking for talent. He's looking for intelligence. He's looking for charm. How about quick wit? What is God looking for when He looks for His vessels? Somebody said a willing heart. God is actually looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Yeah. And out of a broken heart, there's usually a sense need that will draw us to Him, to commit ourselves to Him in faithfulness. Amen? But it's faithfulness that God looks for. Without faith, what? It's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder. Rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, how many here would be honest today and say, I want to be spiritually successful? Sure. That's why we're here, right? Hopefully we came, first of all, to bless the Lord, right? And to be a blessing to someone. But we also come to receive, right? Because we realize that there's a gap. And I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels like a huge gap between what God wants me to be and who I am today. Now, if I look back on my past, I can see a huge change. You know, has anybody ever heard the saying, I'm not the man I used to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be? Somewhere in the process. We're somewhere in the process. So we want to be spiritually successful. And what does that look like? You know, Psalm 75 and 6 says, for promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one and He sets up another. So promotion comes from who? From God. Is it possible for us to promote ourselves? Well, it's possible to promote ourselves, okay? But it's not legitimate promotion. Yeah. So legitimate promotion comes from God. When God promotes someone, no one can take that away from them. And so we want to allow God to have His way in our lives. We want Him to raise us up. And He raises up those who humble themselves before Him, who submit themselves to Him, who seek Him first. Those are the ones that He will lift up. He will exalt. And we have to be patient in the process, because sometimes we get impatient and we try to make happen what God alone can do. We try to make something happen for God. Have you ever done that? Tried to make something happen for God. Not that we had an impure motive even. You know, our motivation may have been pure. It's like, I want to do something for God. But we have to understand that grace is not something you achieve. It's something you receive. Promotion comes from God. So promotion is actually a gift from God. Promotion is not something you achieve. In a natural sense, see, we're geared to think that everything is by achievement in this world, right? If you do this and this and this, and this is the result. Now, God is simply looking for faithfulness. And often that faithfulness comes in small packages, small assignments, little things that we are called to do day by day, natural things that we're given responsibility over. God sees, God looks at our faithfulness in the lesser matters of everyday mundane life sometimes. God is looking at integrity of heart. He's looking at faithfulness to the task at hand. He's looking at those who, when the boss is away, they're not playing. Because everything they do is unto the Lord and not unto man. Because when we do things unto man, we're only doing it when they're watching. You know what I'm saying? You can come and worship God here. And I'm not saying because you worship God this morning that you did it because you want somebody to see you. But it could be a motivation. Because we want to appear to others to be spiritual. Sometimes, I think all of us, in some time, in some place in our lives, we've put up a facade of some type. Have you? You know, we've tried to be somebody we're not, or we tried to make people think we're somebody that we're not, usually because of fear. Fear of rejection. God gives us natural things every day to do. A responsibility. It may be simply, you get up in the morning, amen, on time. You get to work on time. You work faithfully for your employer. Amen? And you do the best job you can do because you're not actually working for him. He may think you are, but you're actually working for someone higher than him. And if you do everything unto God, then even what you do in the natural is going to be with excellence. How many would agree with me that when we do a job, we should not be sloppy about it? We should not be winging it and just getting by and, you know. We should be doing our best because we're doing it before the one we don't see. And God is looking for faithfulness. He's looking for someone like David who was faithful in his father's house to tend his sheep. And remember, in the back 40 where no one saw him. Amen, except the sheep. And maybe the lion and the bear. But he was back doing his father's business. He was faithful. His father could trust him with the sheep. But David had no idea. He had no ambition to become king. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. How many know that you and I are supposed to do what we're supposed to do? When we serve the Lord, we're serving Him because we're supposed to. He's the master, amen? We are His people, but we are His servants. And we do it because we're supposed to. We should not have to try to, you know, pressure anybody or beg them, come on, to pray, to read the Bible, to come to church, to serve Him, right? On a daily basis, you should not have to be compelled to do that. You should automatically know, this is my reasonable service. He saved me. Now my responsibility is to give myself back to Him every day. To present my body as a living sacrifice. For His purposes. For His service. And that often comes in small packages. Little assignments, being faithful in little, Jesus said, and He will make you ruler of much. But we have to have patience. We have to endure some things. There's going to be opposition. Every time you step out to do the will of God, there will be opposition. It requires faithfulness when it feels good and when it doesn't feel good. If I feel good this morning, I go to church. If I don't feel good, I stay home. Are you hearing me? Well, little Johnny's got a cold, pneumonia, do you suppose? Well, the whole family had to stay home just to blow that poor kid's nose. See, David wasn't seeking to establish his own kingdom. He wasn't looking to establish his own kingdom. He was just simply being faithful to the task at hand. Now, I want to talk this morning about ambition. Ambition can be a good thing if it's the right kind of ambition. There's a good ambition and there's a bad ambition. Can anybody tell me what the bad ambition is? Self-promoting. Self-promotion. Selfish ambition is bad ambition. Selfish ambition gets us into trouble. When we come to Christ, we are to die to self. And we are to take up our cross and follow Him. It's no longer like Paul said, I who live but Christ in me. Now I live for Him. For Him I live. I'm espoused to Him. When we exchange marriage vows, we say, and for you I commit my faith, you know, and for you I will now live. And when we come to Jesus, we are in a covenant agreement that He ever lives for us. But what we need to do is commit ourselves back to Him and say, Lord, from now on, it is for you that I live. I live for myself all these years. You saved me and you separated me unto yourself. So from now on, for you, I will live. That is a covenant. You live for me, I live for you. Everything you have is mine. Everything I have is yours. The word ambition is to be eagerly desirous of achieving or obtaining success, power, wealth, or a specific goal. It is something a person hopes to do or achieve. Now, the root meaning, and I looked this up, the root meaning is to go around for votes. Ambition is to go around for votes. Now, I want you to think about this. Anybody making the connection already? How many got a picture of a campaign? A political campaign. James 3:16 says, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. How many would agree with me today that our political process is in disorder? Do you think there might be just a little bit of selfish ambition going on? Okay. I mean, come on. It seems like people will do anything anymore to achieve votes. They'll lie. You know, they'll cheat. They'll slander. There's no respect among opposing politicians. There's nothing wrong with the debate, but where is the respect? There is undermining and slandering and false accusation and gossip and evil gossip that gets spread around. Whenever a person is selfishly ambitious, they will go to all kinds of lengths to get ahead, even if it means stepping on you to do so. If they have to belittle you and chop you down to size so that they can exalt themselves. How many have heard that statement? To belittle is to be little. There is disorder because there's this competition and this jealousy and this thirst for power. So there's two kinds of ambitious people. Those who aspire only to fame, fortune, power, and social position, or all of these. And the second, those who aspire to please the Lord and do a great work for Him and His kingdom. How many know Jesus paid for us in blood? We've entered into covenant with Him. We are married to Him. I no longer own myself. I am His property. The rest of my life is to be given over for His service. Amen? My aspiration should be to do the best work I can do for the Master. To advance the kingdom of God, amen, in the earth. To live for His pleasure, for His glory, for His honor. It's no longer to live for my own goals, my own aims. You know what? Everything that we do, we should be passing before his desk and saying, Father, is this okay? He may say, I want you to be a football star, or I may want you to be a doctor or a lawyer or a mechanic or whatever it is that may be your occupation in life. But whatever you do, we have to acknowledge him and say, Father, what do you decide? What is best for me? What do you want me to do? Here's my plan. I'm committing it to you. I'm laying it before your desk and I'm saying, Father, is this what you want me to do? Are we willing to obey the Lord if he says no? We may have a dream. Are we willing to let a dream die if God says let it go? You know, we're really not ready for Jesus until we're done with ourselves. As we said before, you're not ready for Jesus until you're done with sin. Repentance means I'm done with sin. It doesn't mean that I have Jesus and my sin. It means the sin goes and I'm all for Jesus now. That's repentance. And those are the people that will be saved. The people that will be saved are the overcomers. Jesus said, he who overcomes to the end, the same shall be saved. Who are the overcomers? Those who have repented of their sins. Those who have turned their back on sin and death and have embraced Christ to walk in his paths. You can't have it both ways, folks. You see, Judas was one who was with the 12. Judas even partook of the anointing. He healed the sick. You know, he was involved in casting out devils, doing all this stuff. See, Judas was one who was in association. He was probably a very faithful churchgoer. But Judas never had a transformation of heart. Judas was living a lie, and Judas did not repent of his sin. He was a thief, and he was stealing from the treasury. God knows the hearts of all. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Repentance means I'm done with death. I'm done with my way. I'm embracing his way. Repentance means I've changed my mind. I've turned away from the old life. It's no longer I that live, but Christ. And now the life I live by faith in the Son of God. I live for him. There's a gospel today that we reward ourselves grace, you see. You did good today. It's not of works. Salvation is a gift. Amen? Promotion from God is a gift. Everything that we receive, everything, all good things come down from who? From the Father. Amen? The Father of lights. All good gifts come from him. It's grace. It's not of us. It's of him. God is simply looking for faithful hearts, people who will be faithful in the small things, in the mundane things, in the day-to-day things. And when he sees faithfulness and he sees integrity of heart and he sees that you are on the outside who you are on the inside, you are in the presence of others, amen, who you are alone. That you are on Monday who you are in church on Sunday. God sees faithfulness. He's looking for those whose hearts are loyal towards him. The eyes of the Lord search to and fro throughout the earth, looking for those whose hearts are loyal to him. And those are the ones like David who often get overlooked. Nobody pays attention to them, but God saw David. He saw his heart. He saw he was a faithful man. He saw that he had a heart after his own heart. And he says, that's the one that I will anoint and raise up to be king over Israel. And folks, when we talk about promotion, when I'm talking about promotion, I'm not just talking about, amen, having a big paycheck or having a title, you know, or getting to the top of the ladder where you work. It could be that God will do that, amen. I've heard a few testimonies just this last week of different guys that said, you know what, I've been doing a good job. I've been faithful. I've been working hard. And all of a sudden, it's like I'm getting promoted. Very quickly, God is beginning to turn things, and the employer is beginning to see something in this person because they're somebody that can be trusted. If you read Hebrews 11, you see that many, many never saw the promises of God in their lifetime. But they weren't living for just temporary fulfillment or satisfaction. They were living for eternity. And they were living according to faith, amen, and God's promises that someday, if I'm faithful, nobody may see me now, nobody may recognize me now. I know it's good English. But if they don't, guess what? God who sees in secret will reward you. Oh, you may be in your prayer closet wondering if any of this is doing any good. You're praying, you're interceding. Hey, come on, don't give up. Amen? Because God sees in secret, and the time will come when He will reward you openly. Amen? When you give your alms, when you bless people, when you give to people. Jesus said, don't wave a flag. Amen? Just give them a Pentecostal handshake and say, God bless you. Amen? And know that God sees. He sees faithfulness because though you listen to His voice when He says, I want you to bless somebody. I want you to give to that person. You are faithful in the little assignment. You may not have much, but if you're faithful in what you have, God can make you ruler of much. A faithful person serves God and waits on Him for promotion. How do we receive grace? We receive grace through faithful obedience. Jesus received grace through obedience to the Father. My meat, my bread, is to do the will of my Father. What is your assignment? You will find that God's grace will be sufficient for you in that you are obedient in the task that He gives you every day. The faithfulness in small things. Amen? God's looking at that. You know, sometimes we don't want to wait for something. We want to get ahead. And unfortunately, too many people, they claw and they strive and they struggle to get ahead. Are you hearing me today? And they're miserable and they're tired and they're burnt out. And Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If God promotes you, it's not going to be a struggle, amen? It's going to be by grace and not by works. Too often, even in the church, you know, people can get caught up into wanting promotion or achievement or titles or, you know, to be recognized. I'm doing all this work and nobody sees me. Nobody says anything. Nobody gives me an attaboy or a thank you. You know what? The more higher you go up sometimes, the less attaboys you get. As a matter of fact, when you start to mature spiritually, you become a greater threat to the devil, and so he's going to raise up opposition against you. Hello? But that's not a bad thing, because there's privilege, amen, with promotion. But there's also persecution. The more that we grow, because let's face it, it's easier just to be a baby, you know? I just come and just stick that bottle in my mouth and take care of it for me. You know, I have a need. Well, God takes care of our needs, doesn't He? But He wants us to grow up and get beyond just being needy all the time. Amen? And start blessing others and giving and sharing with others. Being more concerned about somebody else's need. Even when you have a need, you are willing to work towards their need. There's times you may be sick and God says, I want you to pray for this sick. I prayed for the sick when I was sick and they got healed and I didn't. But God's looking for faithfulness. Oh, He won't forget what you did if you obeyed Him. Jesus said this in Luke 17, verse 7. Which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. Will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? And afterwards you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. Listen, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which you were commanded to, say, we are, what? Unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do. Jesus isn't saying, folks, that it's unprofitable to serve him. That's not what he's saying. He's exposing a motivation for what we do, why we do what we do. Our attitude should be like the servant who simply did what he was supposed to do. Do I serve God just because I'm going to get something out of it? Or do I serve him in love because I love? Amen? Amen? Because I love him and I love people. And I want to serve him. And you know what? If anybody acknowledges me or not, it doesn't matter because God sees. But you know what? God doesn't owe us anything. He did everything for us already. He doesn't owe us a thing. Come on. He went to the cross for us. He gave his life for us. We can say, Lord, what can I do for you? But God, because of his nature, because of who he is, he blesses us anyways. But our motivation should not be, I'm in this for what I can get out of it. I'm in this because I love God. I serve him because I love him and I'm thankful. I serve him out of gratitude. Gratitude for the cross. Gratitude that Jesus laid down his life for me. I should be willing to lay down my life for my brethren. Amen. Lay down my life for him. We've got to die to ourselves. We've got to turn away from ourselves. Ourselves are always going to oppose the will of God. Your flesh is not going to like it. Your flesh has to be crucified. It has to be nailed to the cross. We have to say no. If God says do this and your flesh says do that, you've got to listen to God. Amen? When we're in selfish ambition, folks, it's a chore. It's a striving. It's a clawing and working your way. And people, come on, some guys especially, we can become workaholics and we work because we want all the bells and the whistles and the toys and the best of everything, amen? And then we don't even get to enjoy it because we've trashed ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that we don't provide and we don't take care of our family because we are supposed to, right, guys? But what do we do? Why do we do what we do? You've heard this saying, keeping up with the Joneses. There's a couple Joneses in here. Too many people are just doing stuff for appearances only. Are you hearing me? We want people to look at us and say, wow, aren't you something? Come on, you're successful. You're popular. You're good looking. Pray for him. Lord, make him beautiful. again, we think, well, God's going to choose the people so often because who am I? He's going to choose the good-look ones, the smart ones, the whatever ones, But not little old me because I really don't have much to offer. Well, what do you got in your hand? I got a few fishes and a few loaves. Well, give it back to Jesus then. Watch what he will do with whatever you have in your hand. He can multiply it. He's calling every one of us in this room today to a full surrender and commitment to him, to serve him. The reason why America is where it's at is because the church has been asleep. Or we're in bed with the world. We're not doing what we've been called to do. We're not being salt. We're not being light. We're not standing up. We're not speaking up. We're just compromising because we want everybody to like us and we want to kind of fit in with everything. Jesus says if they hate me, they're going to hate you too. If you stand up for what is right, somebody's not going to like you. Get over it. Amen. It's not about you anyways. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. What I care about now, folks, is that Jesus says, well done. I may not get an, some people think, well, you're a pastor, you get all kinds of compliments and stuff. I'll sit down with you sometime and explain how that looks, but it's not about that anyways. I'm not here because I'm looking for a compliment. I'm here because God called me to this, and I have to be faithful to what He's called me to do. It's my responsibility. I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just thankful. Thank God that He saved me. Amen. I'm not going to hell. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. And whatever I sacrifice or give now, I know the time is coming when there will be an inheritance. Amen. Reserved in the heaven for me. I'm living for that. God can't bless us if we're holding back on Him, if we're afraid to let go of stuff. Are you hearing me? If we're afraid to let go of ourselves, He says you'll lose your life. If anyone will save his life, he will lose it. We have no reason to be proud of our service. And we need to deny that part of us that wants to be important. See, the servant could have said, I'm important. You know, I serve the master. I have all these degrees. I wear the little white collar, you know. Makes me look spiritual. Now, if you want to wear white collar, that's fine. We're talking about motivations here, hearts, and why we do what we do. It's not about appearances. And it's not because I really, God owes me anything. It's like the older brother in the prodigal. All these years I've served you. You know? I've been faithful in your house. And this, my brother, this scumbag, he left home and he wasted everything in riotous living and harlots and, you know. And now he comes home. And what do? You embrace him, you love him, you kiss him, and you welcome him, and you kill the fatted calf, and you have a party. You never killed a fatted calf for me. You never had a party for me. Sometimes we have that mentality. We get jealous over somebody that's getting blessed. Instead, we should be rejoicing with him, because he said, we should be rejoicing. This year, brother was lost, but now he's found. Was blind, but now he sees. He's home. And he said, son, everything I have is yours. It belongs to you already. Why are you living in poverty? It's all yours anyways. Sometimes we just have a poverty mentality, you know. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Now, who is our greatest example? Jesus. Remember the thing, WWJD, right? You got it on your thing right there. What would Jesus do? Okay. So let's ask ourselves this question. Who am I supposed to be like? Right? We're supposed to follow Him. We're supposed to live according to His example, all right? So, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Well, He made Himself of, everybody say, no reputation. Come on, say, no reputation. He made Himself of no reputation. As a matter of fact, do you realize that Jesus was sacrificing His reputation just to be with us? And to be with the people that He hung out with on the earth. Oh, you're a friend of sinners. You're sitting with sinners. Does He know who He's eating? Does He know who this woman is that's at His feet? Are you hearing me? Jesus didn't care about His reputation because He made Himself of no reputation. He didn't care what man thought. He was here to do the will of His Father. Likewise, you and I need to be concerned with what God says and what He's expecting of us, and not what people think, because if we fear man, we will compromise the will of God. We will not serve Him if we're afraid of people. If we're trying to please people, we cannot be the servants of Christ. And we've got to die to that part of us that wants to be recognized, that wants to be important. That part of us that wants the approval of men. And if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He will make even his enemies to be at peace with him. But whatever we do in word or deed, we do all to the glory of God. Amen. We're doing it unto Him. We're working. We're serving unto Him in the day-to-day life. Let nothing be done, Philippians 2:3, through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Do you understand where promotion comes from? It comes from God, but is based upon faithfulness, that we be found faithful. Jesus made himself of no reputation, and as a result, he's at the highest place. Satan, or Lucifer, on the other hand, exalted himself. And where is he going to end up? Isaiah 14:12, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. Self-promotion, selfish ambition, above the stars of God. I will also sit in the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Revelation 20:10 says, the devil who deceived him was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's going to be the doom of Satan. And those who exalt themselves, God says, he will abase. But those who humble themselves, he will exalt. Wait on the Lord. Wait on his timing. Be faithful in your day-to-day assignment from the Lord. Walk with him. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will make your path prosperous. Amen? He will make your path straight. Hallelujah. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or from the south, but it comes from the Lord. You and I just need to be who God created us to be and to do what He tells us to do. Again, God doesn't exist for me, but I exist for Him. You know, we've got that twisted around, folks. In the church, it's get twisted around so much where God's just there for me. Actually, the opposite is true. He doesn't exist for us. We exist for Him. And for thy pleasure they are created. For thou art worthy, O God. Amen? We were made for Him. Sometimes we can just get caught up in the mentality of gimme, gimme, gimme. You know? Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. What really has to happen, folks, is we got to grow up and quit being the kid that's begging in the line. Amen? Give me that, give me that, give me that. I want that candy, I want that. Are you with me? It's time to put away the candy. Amen? It's time to grow up and say, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you, my King? You've done all for me. I want to give my life. Folks, I pray and I pray that you will really, I mean, hear this today and really, really, really give your life to Jesus Christ. So we give them leftovers, we give them spare change, but I'm talking about give your life to Jesus Christ. Amen. Give yourself fully to Christ. Because that's where you will find your life. You will not find satisfaction in this world and the things of this life. You're only going to find your satisfaction in the will of God for your life. Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of my Father. That's what completes me. That's what satisfies me, is to know that I have done the will of the Father. Amen. God is not looking for superstars. He's not impressed by our charisma, our good looks, our wit, whatever it might be that we have, because everything we have came from Him anyways. It's all grace. He's simply looking for faithfulness in what he's given us. Amen? Faithfulness to him every day. How many would say, amen, I'm getting it? Okay. For wherever your treasure is, Jesus says, there the desires of your heart will also be. If our desires are to please him, to live for him, to serve him, then your heart is in the right place. If your desires are just to serve yourself, folks, your heart is not right with God. It's called selfish ambition. When you're born again into a new life, into a new way, and this way is the way of the Master. It's not my way, it's his way. It's not my will, it's your will be done. On earth, as in heaven. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart's going to be. What are we full of? You know, what we're full of is what we're going to talk about. Jesus said, be dressed for service. Keep your lamps burning. He's saying, be ready. Be in a readiness every day, folks. Pay attention. God has got an assignment for you every day. There's somebody he wants you to talk to. There's somebody he wants you to pray for. There's somebody he wants you to reach out to. There's some little task he wants you to do. He wants you to demonstrate to your boss that you are a follower of his because of the way that you live and the way that you work. And that you're one of the most faithful employees that they have. Are you hearing me? Yes. And all these things, we can glorify God or we can bring reproach upon the Lord. And he says, be dressed, keep your lamps burning as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. When? When he comes. Don't be in a hurry. Wait on God. Be faithful. Even if you're not seeing the promise now, even if you don't see your children in your lifetime, come to Jesus. Keep on praying. Keep on sowing. Keep on loving. Keep on believing. Amen. Because what you sow, you shall reap. We're living for eternity. I tell you the truth. He himself, Jesus, will seat them. Put on an apron and serve them as they sit and eat. The time is coming, folks. Right now, we are the unprofitable servants. We're the ones that are saying, Lord, it's my duty. I'm just going to serve you the best I know how. As you give me light, as you give me daily revelation, I'm going to be faithful. If you tell me, don't tell me anything else, I'm going to do what I'm doing right now. Amen. I'm not going to leap out. I'm not going to jump out until you give me revelation as to what I'm supposed to do next. I'm going to follow you. And those who are faithful now, who are sowing now, those who have faith are those who are looking ahead to the promise. That the day is going to come when we're going to stand before Jesus Christ and soon coming. And he's going to look at us. What are we going to say? Don't be like the foolish man who said, Lord, I was fearful and I hid your talent. I hid what you gave me. Instead, we're going to say, Lord, you gave me this, and I brought a return on it. Amen? You gave me these gifts. You gave me these abilities, these talents. It may not be a whole lot, but whatever I got, God, I'm going to give it back to you. I'm going to put it in your hands. I say, Lord, here, I'm giving it back to you. Bless it and multiply it because I want an abundant welcome into heaven. I want Jesus to know immediately who I am and say, I know who you are. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Because the day is coming when every knee shall bow to him. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Amen. And in that day, we can say with joy, I'm anticipating the return of my Lord. Why? Because this world is not my home. I'm living for that world. And so when he comes, I'm going to be excited about Jesus coming. Amen. Why? Because I have given away my life here for that life which will be forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the reason I say that, folks, is because that's exactly what Jesus demonstrated for us. This is the truth. That this is the life we are to live. We are to live a committed life to him. A faithful life to him. We are to live a life that is unselfish. We are to walk in the love of God. The love of God is agape love. Agape love means whether you bless me back or not, I'm going to bless you. Amen? Whether I ever get it recognized for my service I do with the church or I do on the job or wherever it is, folks, it doesn't matter because what I'm doing is unto God. Well, that pastor's got to be the most stuck up man. Well, I heard a lady say the other day, he didn't even shake my hand. This ain't about me, but do you understand what I'm saying here? Get over it? Yeah, thank you. We all got it. Man, God's been working on me for a long time to get over this stuff. It's grace. It's grace, you know? His grace is sufficient for me. If I get recognition, great. If I don't, great. I'm just going to serve Jesus. I'm working unto Him. I'm serving Him. When people criticize me and they say things that hurt me, I just shrug it off and I say, okay, Lord, what are we doing now? Are you with me? I'm not going to be like the dog that sits in the kennel and swats the fleas, right? I'm on a hunt here. I'm focused. I forget all about the fleas when I'm in the will of God. God's calling you. He's calling me as a body, as a church, as His church to rise up, to do the will of God for our lives. Amen. To accomplish His will, to advance His kingdom in all the earth. Will you receive that call? Will you say, yes, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. I'm not talking about giving You my leftovers. I'm talking about really giving my life to You. We've got to die daily. We've got to make the decision when you get up in the morning. This day is going to be for Jesus. God may say it's okay for you to go fishing or to go to Six Flags or whatever thing you may have on your agenda. But if God says no, I want you to do this, who are we going to obey? Do you understand, folks, that we are running out of time? We're running out of time. There's not much time left. The night is coming upon us very quickly. The night is coming in America very quickly. There is persecution starting to rise up even in this land that we've had so much freedom in. Amen. There's much opposition throughout the earth. I heard a statistic the other day that every 4 minutes a Christian is being martyred in the world. This is the reality of the time we're living in. So now is high time that we wake out of sleep. We cast it off and say, look around, see what's happening. Say, Jesus, I'm at attention. Jesus, here am I. Send me. This world is temporary. And the day is coming when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is going to return. He's coming in clouds of glory. Every eye is going to see Him. He's coming on a white horse. Amen. And His vesture dipped in blood. And He is the Word of God. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He is going to reign. And He will recompense to everyone who had suffered for His name. The rewards are with Him, folks. And I don't know about you, but I want to go with Jesus. Amen. Don't care if people like me or not anymore. It doesn't matter. I just want to make sure that I'm obedient and faithful to the Lord. Amen.